for what you shared. Brother Alex did not know what I was going to share on this morning, but the Spirit of the Lord did. This morning my message title is Discerning the Voice of the Lord. And one of the things that Brother Alex brought out in his devotional is if we're going to have a rebellious attitude, we're not going to hear that voice. And that was a very good platform to the discussion I would like to have this morning. This morning I would like to actually do something a little different. I would like for the message period to be interactive. Each of you have personal experience with the Lord talking to you. And I would like to, in the first part of the message, I would like to together remember examples of God talking to individuals in the Bible. And as we go through the message, well, the message burden comes from the thought that many times we'll face something, and we wish that we could just hear a voice from heaven telling us that this is what you need to do, and this is going to be the outcome. And what really makes that boil inside even more is the fact that God did do that in the past. He used an audible voice and told people, this is what you must do. It gave them assurance. And I would like it to be clear as we go through the message why God is using different tactics in communicating to us today. Because I think as we look at the circumstances, as we look at the happenings in the Bible, in God speaking to men, we can see a trade, we can see a change in how he communicates to men. And it specifically relates to events that passed, that happened. God does talk to his people, so how do we receive the message? That's the burden this morning. And we heard already that we need to have open hearts. We need to not be rebellious. We need to just be ready to hear what God has to speak. Now, the first part of the message I have titled, God Talks to Individuals. And I would like you to help me just call to memory as many cases of God talking to individuals in the Bible as we can call it together here in 10 minutes' time, 15 minutes' time, whatever it takes. What's the first one you can think of in the Bible of God talking to individuals?
Samuel.
Samuel? Okay. Samuel. God talked to Samuel. Did Samuel recognize the voice as being God's voice? Initially, he did not. And you know, that happens today. Sometimes there's a voice that people do not recognize as being God's voice. How did Samuel come to recognize it as God's voice? That's right. Someone told him it was. He had a faithful leader that said, Samuel, this must be the voice of God. And Samuel pretty soon had confirmation that it was. It was the voice of God. Okay, another example. God talking to someone.
Adam,
that's right. It says, I just read that verse in preparation for this message. It kind of has an interesting word order. It says the voice of God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, just paraphrasing it a little bit. But God's voice was right there walking with them. I believe God was probably there in his presence too. Okay, what other examples do we have?
Jonah.
That's right. God came to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh. Did Jonah recognize that as God's voice? He did. He recognized it as God's voice, but he wished it wouldn't have been God's voice. And you know, sometimes we do that. Sometimes we recognize the call, and yet we cringe in rebellion and say, but it's not for me. That's not something I can do. Okay, another example. Moses, that's right. We have Moses and God talking together many times. I think probably the first account we have on record, not positive, but I think the first one that came to my mind was in the burning bush. When Moses was out on the backside of the wilderness and he saw that bush burning and was not consumed. He drew near to it and a voice came out of the bush and said, "Moses, you're on holy ground. Take off your shoes." And we know a conversation ensued. It was a two-way dialogue. God spoke, Moses spoke, God spoke, Moses spoke. And we witnessed that too with some of these others that we talked about. Actually, pretty much all of them that we talked about so far. There was two-way dialogue. God spoke, and then others spoke. Okay, what other examples do we have?
Enoch.
That's right. The Bible does not record a lot about him, but Genesis 5:24 says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Just gives us the picture of walking together. Walking and talking together as friends. What other examples do we have of God speaking to individuals? Again?
Abraham.
Yes. I like that one too. There's so many times. Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," Genesis 12:7, "the Lord appeared unto Abram." Genesis 13:14, "And the Lord said unto Abram." Genesis 15:1, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision." 16:7, "An angel of the Lord," okay, actually that was talking to Hagar, who would have been in Abram's life, but Genesis 17:1 and 3, "The Lord appeared to Abram, and God talked with him." Genesis 18:1 and 2, "The Lord appeared to Abram." There was three men. It addresses one as the Lord. Just a life of interaction with the Lord. I was challenged by that. No wonder we often hear Abraham referred to as the friend of God. There was just back and forth, just the whole way through his life. Okay, another example. You haven't close to exhausted him yet.
Isaiah,
yes. God came to him and gave him a call. And Isaiah's response at the onset of that is, "Woe is me, for I am undone." God's presence in that way made Isaiah feel the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. And many times through Isaiah's life, we have the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Who else?
Job.
That's right. And I am impressed. Job, we have record of early in his life, regularly offering sacrifice to God. It was his habit to worship God. It was his habit to talk to God. And I don't think it was a surprise to Job when God talked to him. Who else do we have?
John.
Yes. A lot of what we remember of John's... Well, actually, we need to start with the life of Jesus on earth. You know, John had firsthand experience with Jesus. And then later, when he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, he had visions where God gave him special messages that he has recorded for us today. Special messages of the future. Another example.
Noah,
that's right. Noah lived in a time when it says the sons of God were marrying the daughters of men. There were a lot of normal things happening, and yet there God was forgotten. But the testimony God has of Noah is that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said unto Noah, God came and gave him instructions for his salvation, for building an ark to save his family and to save the animal species. Genesis 6, 9b, and then just jumping into 13, says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And then 13 is where it starts. The instructions for the ark. And God said unto Noah. Who else do we have? Balaam. That's right. God spoke to Balaam. And I have a question. Did Balaam recognize it as the voice of God? I think at least at first he did not. He was that set on doing that he wanted to do. And he actually entered into conversation, not realizing at first that he was entering into conversation with God. He was addressing it to his donkey. But I think Balaam later realized that this really and truly was the voice of God. Whenever he saw the angel, he said, you know what? This was the voice of God, and I missed it. Who else do we have? Saul, on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter. It says he saw a light and heard a voice. And I just looked at that passage this morning too. It says the men around him heard a voice but saw no man. But Saul recognized it as the voice of the Lord. His question right away was, who art thou, Lord? I forget exactly how he said it, but he asked him what he would have him to do. He recognized the voice of the Lord and entered into a dialogue with God for the first time in a way that he had never done before. Who else do we have? Okay. I have a number more written down. We thought about the fact that God talked to Adam in the garden. But we did not bring up the fact that God talked to Cain in that same garden, or right in that same area. God talked to Cain. As we look at the life of Adam, we see something happening. At first, it was a pleasant time. But when there was disobedience, God's voice was a voice of fear. They fled from God. God came and talked to Cain specifically with a message of judgment. He did not come with a message of fellowship. He came with a message of judgment. We talked about Enoch. We talked about Noah. We talked about Abraham. But you know, God talked to Lot. God talked to Isaac. God talked to Jacob. God talked to Joseph. We talked about God talking to Moses. God talked to Pharaoh. We see God talking to Pharaoh through Moses. And it also says he talked to him through the plagues that were accomplished upon him, the plagues that were brought upon him. God talked to Israel. Now, he talked to Israel many times through Moses. Actually, how did God talk to Israel? I have a whole list of them here. How did God talk to Israel?
Prophets.
Through prophets. That's right. He sent prophets to bring them messages of the Lord. God gave these prophets special spirit infilling. And when there was a message to be given from the Lord, it descended on the prophets. They shared that message to the people they were to share with, to Israel. How else did God talk to Israel? That's right. Through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. We have record of him talking to them from the pillar of fire. And even when he wasn't talking, it was his direction. It was him saying, this is where you go. This is where you stop. It's time to go again. How else do we have him talking to Israel? There's several other ways yet. The Ten Commandments. That's right. He was actually wrote down his wishes for Israel and gave them to them on tablets of stone. Very good. How else? Another one I thought of was through the Levites and Urim and Thummim, which I understand was more or less a lot system. It was part of the vesture of the high priest. I believe I have that right. And many times when there was a question that they had, they would go, and Urim and Thummim would be used. The one gave them a positive answer, the other one gave them a negative answer. And I think of various other leaders, even the kings. God talked to some of the kings. Some of them pretty much ran from the voice of God, but even so, God talked to them sometimes. Was not a good message when he talked to the ones that were running from him. But he did talk to them. When Saul disobeyed the Lord in regard to the battle with Amalek and saved alive the best of the animals and saved alive the king, we have record that the Spirit of God departed from Saul. So God had a special blessing of the Spirit on those kings that he charged with directing the nation of Israel. A few verses later, we have David being anointed king. And we have, just paraphrasing it, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So that Spirit, that special blessing of the Spirit that gave special wisdom, special communication from God, went from king to king as God anointed them. And we can't forget that God talked to Israel through Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. He came in flesh and talked to Israel with his own voice, just like I'm talking to you this morning. He had a message for Israel. Okay. I'd like to call attention to a little progression that we see here. A lot of these references to God talking to people that we cited, probably about half of them that we talked about so far, came out of what book of the Bible? I think probably about half of them came out of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Why did God use his voice to speak to these people? Why might God have used his voice to speak to these people in these Genesis accounts?
The world was brand new and they had no history to look back on and see God moving in others' lives.
That's right. The world was new. They did not have the written history. In fact, they did not even yet have the book of Genesis, the first book of the law, to go back to. They did not have the Ten Commandments. God used his voice to communicate to them what he wanted of them. He talked to them. Now, a number of the others that we talked about related to Israel and their movement before God. What would you say was the most common method that God used to talk to Israel? I guess just summing it up, I'm going to say spirit-filled people. People that God gave the Spirit to for that purpose. We have Moses, we have the prophets, we have the kings. We do have record, and I believe this was the same event when the Ten Commandments were given, of God speaking to Israel from a mountain, flaming with fire. But most times, he was talking through people that he gave them a spirit filling for that purpose. To talk to them. Now, how did God talk to those individuals that he gave that spirit filling? Let's focus on that a little bit. Just think about, how did God talk to the prophets? How did God talk to the kings that knew the voice of God? Actually, I'm going to read something here. Comes from 2 Samuel chapter 2. I was impressed with this in my own personal devotions. This is after Saul's battle with the Philistines, where Israel badly lost. Saul and his sons lost their lives in the battle. I'm going to read the first several verses of 2 Samuel chapter 2. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. I was blessed by this little conversation. David has been told that Saul is gone. And so David questions God, "What do you have for me next? Are you now ready for me to go up into Judah?" And God said, "Yes, I am ready." And then he said, "Where shall I go?" And the answer came back, "Hebron." Now, I don't care if you want to focus on this or whether you want to focus on accounts with other prophets, but how did God give his message? How did God give his message? It doesn't really tell us right here in this account. How did he give his message to Samuel?
Audible.
How did he give his message to Elijah? Says it was a still, small voice. Again, I believe audible. How did he give his message to Isaiah or Ezekiel? Sometimes it's not real clear whether it was actually audible or whether it was a vision. But either way, they heard the words being spoken. In their minds, the words were being spoken clearly. Did God speak to David audibly? I'm not sure. We have another thing. Remember how God spoke to David, to Israel, in the account of Achan. They went out, they were defeated. When Joshua came before God, God said there's sin in the camp. There was some kind of a message there. But then the selection process for finding out who it was, it says they made the heads of the tribes to pass through. And God gave them a yes or a no. After a while, they had the head of the tribe, so they started passing heads, making the heads of the families pass by. And God gave them a yes or a no with each one. And then after that, they started breaking that down a little further, and God gave them a yes or a no. This conversation here that David had with God could have been an audible, like we had with some of these prophets, or it could have been God saying, or David saying to God, "Do you want me to go into Judah?" And in some way, he received a yes or a no. And where do you want me to go? Do you want me to go to Jerusalem? No. Do you want me to go to Jericho? No. Do you want me to go to Hebron? Yes. I'm not sure. But I bring that out because sometimes we make things ambiguous in our own minds. But just asking a general question and expecting the handwriting on the wall somewhere saying that this is the way it's going to be. Was it ambiguous to the leaders of Israel as to who was at fault for the sin that Achan committed? No, it was very clear. Did Joshua just go back to God and say, "Who is it?" And God said, "Achan?" No, he didn't. God wanted to see Israel act. He wanted to see them step out. As we come into the New Testament, I'm sorry I'm not giving you all these scriptures, but I have a lot of notes. I have them down on my paper here. A lot of ground to cover. So we have Elijah and the prophets. We have the kings. Now we have, as we come into the New Testament, we have God talking to Jesus. And you can pretty much open your finger to one of the Gospels and point your finger, and you have an answer to how did God talk to Jesus. How did God talk to Jesus? There's actually a couple of mediums that God used to talk to Jesus. What were they?
Sometimes it was audible.
That's right. Sometimes it was audible. Sometimes there were others around that heard that audible voice as well. Think about the case of his baptism in Mark, beginning of Mark. Says he came out of the water, and there was a voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Others heard that voice. How else did God talk to Jesus?
Angels in the garden.
There was angels came and spoke to him. Angels that ministered to him and strengthened him. And that came on the heels of what? What else do we have in that garden account?
Prayer,
that's right. came on the heels of prayer. As we read that account, maybe I should just turn to that. And turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, we're going to start reading at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Again, I actually didn't grab the account that talks about the angels. But we have here Jesus wrestling in prayer. It was a heartfelt prayer. It was real. It came from the depths of his heart. You can clearly see that as you look at the account and see how he wrestled with God. If we do that, if we pour out our hearts to God and open ourselves before God, we will get an answer. Do we get the answer we want? Did Jesus get the answer he wanted? I don't think he got the answer his flesh wanted. But as the other account says, he was strengthened. The angel strengthened him. The other thing I see when we look at Luke 4:18. Let me just read that real quick. Another way that God talked to Jesus. This is Jesus reading the prophecy from Isaiah in the synagogue. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And here we have Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on him. Amen. To preach. God talked to Jesus through the Spirit so that he would have something to preach with. The other thing that really impressed me, last but not least, in how God talked to Jesus, I think we have a whole lot more references to this one than any other, and that is through the Scriptures. Jesus time and again said, the Scripture saith, or it hath been said, or in the prophets, this is what was written. To me, that's very interesting, because John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. And yet there was a communication link from the scriptures. If Jesus, the Word of God, heard God speaking through the scriptures, how much more should we today hear God speaking through the scriptures? After Jesus was gone, we have record of God speaking to the apostles. And we already talked about him talking to Paul. How else did God talk to the apostles? Let's talk about that a little bit. How did God talk to the apostles? What happened to them in the very beginning of Acts? That was a pivotal point in their lives. Wasn't that the anointing of the Spirit? God talked to them through the Spirit. And we have record numerous times of them being empowered by the Spirit as we see them go through their ministries. God talked to them through the scriptures. We have them time and again saying, this is what the scripture says. And this we saw fulfilled in Jesus. This is what the scripture said. This is what Jesus did. So we have God talking to them through observation of the life of Jesus. We also do have him talking to them through visions, some. Peter, in Acts 10, 9 to 12, received the vision that the Gentiles were supposed to receive the gospel as well. And until he took that message back to the rest of the apostles, they felt like they did not have grounds for taking the message to the Gentiles. But they accepted that as the word of God. They said, of a truth, when they heard of the vision and how it played out in the lives of Cornelius and those with him, they said, of a truth, God is, well, Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And they said, this is true. We have to agree with that. Also in the beginning of Acts, Acts 1, 24 to 26, we have them using the lot to find, I'm just going to read those verses real quick. I'm going to have to back up to verse 20. Acts 1, verses 20 to 26. Peter's talking. He says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, that refers to Judas, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Here Peter is saying, we know by scripture that Judas is supposed to be replaced. There's work to be done. And so they sought an individual, individuals from among them. And they came up with two names. And then Peter said, we know from Scripture that this work needs to be done. But here we have two people that we believe, by the authority of the Scripture, could fit the position. And so they went to the use of the lot. They allowed God to speak to the situation through the use of the lot. And I believe that's a place where the lot needs to be used. When we have applied scriptural principle and there are still multiple roads remaining, then God can speak through the use of the lot. Okay. Point two of the message. God talks to the world. How does God talk to the world?
Through the Bible.
Through the Bible. Very good. How else?
Through nature.
Through nature. That's right. Through things that he has set in place. How else?
Through men of God.
Through men of God. That's right. Those who are serving God are to be a voice to the lost. How else?
Through his Spirit.
Does God speak to the people of the world, the non-Christians, through Revelation? You think he does?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Go ahead. He's warned people through dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there is one.
They say that he's going to give them prophecy, but he can warn them.
Mm-hmm. There's one message that God will bring directly from his Spirit to the people of the world, and that is a message of condemnation and a need for repentance. If the world is trying to seek God's face on the issues of life without rectifying that, they're not going to hear the answer. How else does God speak to the world? Actually, it's been touched on a little bit already, through nature. Christ specifically said in Mark 13, 3-8, and several other references, that there are going to be earthquakes and famines and strange signs in heaven that are a message to the world. A message of the soon return of Jesus. So God talks to the world through natural occurrences, through natural disaster. Another thing in the same passage he said he uses that's going to be a sign is wars and rumors of wars. God talks to the world through the political scene. What is there that stirs up the world more than an election that seems to be going awry or something down that score? Wars that are being fought that don't seem to have a basis. It's God's message to the world to wake up. I have something I want to say to you, and you're not listening. Third part of the message, God's people find strength in communicating with him. We looked at 2 Samuel 2 and saw the example of David. Do you think David had any doubt about whether he should go into Judah, go up to Hebron? Do you think he had any doubt when he got there and Judah coronated him, that it was God's will for him? I don't think so. I believe he had an assurance because he had asked God and he heard God's answer. You're supposed to go. Matthew 26, we read those verses already of Jesus in the garden. Jesus found strength to do what was really humanly impossible by pouring himself out to God, talking to God, and God talking to him. Okay. The next main point of the lesson, just a practical summary of these various examples that we've looked at. First thing I see is God talked audibly on a regular basis when there were no scriptures that already contained his written will. Second thing I see is Jesus is and always has been and always will be the Word of God. So the scriptures that were given to us by God through Jesus. The life of Jesus. Future events with Jesus are all things we need to pay attention to. This is all the voice of God. Third thing I see is God many times ordains others to help us with the voice of God in our own lives. I'm glad when I need help that I can go to the brotherhood and I believe hear the voice of God, because they've been in contact with God. They've been praying. They've been walking with God. And God can speak to them, through them, to me. Fourthly, God communicates through the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God that he gave to us, and we see how it empowered the disciples. It is important to realize there are many spirits in this world, and the Spirit of God always coincides with the written word of God. Amen. The Spirit of God will never conflict with the written word of God. Sometimes there's things that are not yay or nay. We look at the word of God. One of the things I'm wrestling through right now is the purchase of real estate. Is this what you want for me, God? Is it not? And I wrestled with God on that. And there came a point where my spirit within me was just at rest with pursuing it and letting God show the outcome. Was that God speaking? I believe it was. I believe it was. Fifth one under this part, when there are choices, God can speak through signs or the lot. And I want to be careful not to overemphasize this, but it has been a blessing in my life. Times when you're not sure, you're wrestling with something, and you say, God, I feel like you're saying to do this, but I'm still not quite sure. What exactly is it? What is it that you want for me to do? In times like that, I believe it's appropriate to do as Gideon, or as the disciples, the apostles, and say, God, I believe this is what it is. Is this really and truly what you want? Yes or no? I will take this as your yes, or I will take this as your no. And I found that to be a blessing at numerous critical junctures in my life. And I can look back on each of those situations and say that clearly was the voice of God. The results of communicating with God, fifth part of the message, clarity for life. In other words, a clearness of what God wants for us, strengthening faith, a deepening relationship, and I believe we could go on. But there are a lot of good things that happen as we learn how to communicate with God, and as we learn how to hear God's voice so he can communicate to us. I thought about reading a passage from Micah. It talks about how God gives his voice, but the time has fled from us. I'm going to leave with you the challenge. As you take your request to God, as you go through your life, are you taking your request to God, and are you hearing God's voice back? That's my challenge for us as we go through the week. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.